Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wildfire Radio Small Bites. Excuse my scratchy throat. The allergies today are really bad. I'm Donato Marino with DNL Bean, the barista service. And next to me is the one and only...
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And it's the dry lawn. We need some rain.
Oh, my God.
And 96 degrees in the middle of May doesn't do us any favors either.
No, it doesn't.
But it should be
nice. It's nice to get tanned.
Nice and cool tomorrow, hopefully.
It's 70, I heard.
Yeah. But you know who's always a cool sort of cat?
John.
Howard. Let's go. He's the coolest cat around that
I
know.
He is, and he knows everything.
Exactly. But that's why we enjoy having him on, and we're going to talk to him what's happening this week. 2 weeks in a row, talk to our man. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are we doing this evening? All right?
Doing great.
Doing great, John.
Good. Good. I'm going to talk about Bloom Burger. Now, this was a restaurant formerly known as Bloom prior to the closing during the pandemic. It is now reopened at 1500 Locust Street. This is according to the Inquirer. The menu features burgers and wood-fired pizzas and alcoholic shakes. Look for more permanent hours for the location this coming Memorial Day weekend. So, again, that's Bloom Burger on Locust Street, now reopened. Nicole also mentioned Vernick Wine will be having a six-course tasting dinner starting this coming Friday, May 28th. Before you go running out and going over to there, you're going to need to reserve 4 weeks in advance, and it's prepaid, and they cost $135 a person. So this is for a very special type of event. But it sounds like it's going to be a fabulous tasting menu, six-course tasting menu, being offered at Vernick Wine starting this Friday. On the Jersey side, I'm keeping an eye out for a new place called Wilson's Jazz Lounge. That'll be opening in Hinella. The menu and the setting is New Orleans-themed, and they'll be featuring live jazz, blues, and R&B music. We don't have an opening date as of yet, but they've been showing a lot of photos posted on Facebook with the setting and how the restaurant's looking, so it should be pretty soon. So again, that's Wilson's Jazz Lounge, opening in Hinella. I would expect it sometime very soon. And I also want to mention that the AC Beer and Music Fest is back this year. Of course, it wasn't happening last year because of the pandemic. Sessions are from Friday, June 4th through Sunday, June 6th. The venue is Bader Field, so the venue is now going to be outside. So the fun is taking place outside this year for the AC Beer and Music Festival. Of course, 120 brews that will be available, and live music, of course. It's a great event. It's drawn a lot of people, so glad to see it back again this year. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram at EatingInSJersey, as well as South Jersey Food Scene website and Facebook page for more food adventures.
Thank you so much, pal.
Thank you, John.
All these events are coming back, the warm weather is going to have everybody out and about.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Everybody's waking up.
Absolutely.
Thanks, John.
That's exactly right.
You and your family have a happy Memorial Day weekend, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Yeah. Memorial Day's upon us.
Yeah. Thank you for all the service, all the vets have done for us. Still out there.
Without a doubt. Yep. I mean, without them, we wouldn't be the great country that we are.
Yeah.
And it's, you can never thank them enough.
No, definitely not.
So did you work in the garden this week? It was a hot one.
I did.
Ooh, today?
Today, no. Yesterday, yes. Today, not too much.
Tomorrow will be a good day for the garden.
I pick and choose. Every other day, I try to be out there. It's just too much.
What's growing? What's large and in charge right now?
Right now, I planted the tomatoes. The asparagus is almost over.
Yes.
Eggplant. We have three different kinds. We have the Sicilian eggplant. I think they're called Black Beauties. And the Chinese eggplants, which are like thin and long.
Okay.
The Italian hots are in. The regular cherry peppers are in.
Now, are they large enough to stuff them?
I won't know till they grow. But according to the picture that it came with, I think you will be able to stuff them.
Hopefully they come as advertised.
Yes, yes. The string beans are coming in. The alfalfa beans are coming in. The broccoli rabe is turning the seed, so we'll have that harvest for seeds for next year.
And what do you like to stuff the Italian hots with?
I like, personally, I ground beef, a little bit of eggs, cheese. I mean, that's the only thing I know how to stuff them with. I'm sure there's other recipes. If anybody has them, please let us know.
Some people throw in little breadcrumbs here and there.
Yeah. They go together with the ground beef.
Exactly. Fatten it up a little bit. Give it a little stuffing.
I don't need the help with the fattening stuff. But, yes. And then the bell peppers, we got the orange, the yellow, and the green.
Okay.
The grapes are coming in nice. We have one red and one white grape vine. Figs, apricots.
Do you think that you would have enough if you wanted to actually take the produce to a market one weekend?
I could, but the bylaws of the garden says you're not allowed to sell what you grow.
Oh.
So you could give it away. And a lot of times that's what we do.
Okay. Yeah, and I've heard that. Some of these community gardens actually donate it to like food banks
and
stuff.
Yeah, basically that's what we do.
And I know some of the food banks, they're actually looking forward to it this year because, of course, last year they were not allowed to accept donations.
But like I said, we donate a lot of stuff to a lot of organizations. The ones we donate to, a lot of them are in South Philadelphia. We have chefs that donate their time. They go down to the homeless shelters. They cook and they bring prepared meals, or they give them away on the street corners to the people coming by, and they give them away platters.
And for anybody, is anyone allowed to come and visit and look at it, or is it strictly membership?
It's strictly membership, but if they call ahead, they have to be in there with a member, because we just don't want people walking around, we don't know who they are.
So I want you to tell me from A to Z what it took for you to be a part of this and how everything worked.
Yeah. Well, what happened was a friend of mine had a garden down there, and for years I would help him out, help him grow stuff, and he taught me a lot of things. And one of the gardeners, due to age, couldn't do the garden anymore. So they offered it to me and said, look, would you like to take over? And, the city makes very little money on it. The land is supplied by the airport, so we maintain it for the airport to keep us, to keep them from having to maintain it themselves. And it works out great for all of us. We supply a lot of produce. I think we have 32 plots on the farming plantation, whatever you want to call it, the farming area. And everybody grows their own product. We have people from Cambodia, Vietnam, Italy, Ireland, Poland. And everybody grows a specific crop to their area. The water is shared by everybody. And so everybody makes sure that they're self-conscious of the water usage. So there's plenty for everybody to use. People take turns. We have people that water during the day, afternoon, evening, to make sure that there's enough water pressure to keep the plants that you put in there alive. We try to do as much from seed as possible. If not, we buy plants and we go to local farms and we buy as much as we can. That way everybody splits it. And we all get as much of a discount as we can, because, like I said, we're not here to make money on it. Most of the stuff is donated. We have a lot of great people. We have a little festival between us. We'll bring a smoker in. We'll cook some food so everybody has a chance. We bring your family. It's a close community. We know everybody. We test everybody, temperature, and most people are vaccinated now. So it's keeps them, I guess, more comfortable to be there with us. And they bring their kids, and we have family days, and, you know, we have horseshoes and whatever else we could think of to keep the kids busy. That way we're, occupied for most of the day. So, yeah, the community martins are great. If you ever see them around, stop by. The people are great. Go in, you know, tell them who you are. Just don't walk in, and you know, they don't know who you are. Walk in and say, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing. Is there produce that we could donate? If you have some plants that you have extra in your own garden and you want to bring down, and say, hey, I have these three tomato plants. Can you use them? You know, nine times out of ten, they can. They'll find a little spot and they'll plant them. And, you know, you come back later, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to share their bounty with you. Just remember, when you see them, they do a lot of work that's unmentioned to the community to make sure that everybody has food at least to feed themselves.
Well, I mean, and that's the one thing that it's one of the lost arts is the community gardens. And I think one of the first ones or largest ones actually started out in Boston, I believe.
That I'm not sure.
We'll have to go look into this.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good research project.
I know in Philadelphia there's a bunch of them. The one we have in Southwest Philadelphia, there's two of them right next to each other.
Okay.
And then we have a couple local that they had since their parents being, you know, immigrants came over, and they always, I guess they did it in the country they came from.
Yeah.
So they just passed it along to their kids, and some of them were 80 years old and producing great products.
It's just an amazing time. And like you said, I mean, it keeps you active, and it keeps your mind off of things. A lot of people don't realize the amount of stimulation and calm that comes to the brain from doing.
Yeah. At the end of the day, when you're done, you sit down and you look over what you produced, and, you know, the sun's going down, it's a nice cool day, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I grew all this product that eventually somebody's going to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing the feeling that you get. And sit back, nice beer, whatever whatever. Not that I'm promoting drinking, but I promote growing.
Well, but if you are going to promote drinking, one of the best places to drink is where?
Excuse me, Alaska.
Well, that would be a good place. That would be good for drinking water. But I was thinking of adult beverages.
Oh. Terry's too, and Folcroft.
There you go. See that?
PA.
That's the perfect place for adult beverages. But
of course,
a great place that we're going to have. One of the things that we're going to talk about real quick is we have just a few minutes to hop on to this. Is we have Tamar Adler online. She's a contributing editor at Vogue. She's written cookbooks, but more importantly, she is helping the Jewish Family and Children's Services of Greater Philadelphia's Nourishing Community Events. They hold a once-a-month virtual cooking series featuring top area personalities, cookbook authors sharing recipes and things like that. And she's going to help them out. It's always a wonderful time. How's it going tonight, Tamar?
Hi, it's good. I'm so sorry. I'm 7 minutes late, which is like a decade in radio time, and I apologize profusely.
Oh, there's no reason to apologize. Don was here entertaining us about his community garden and the good things he's doing for the surrounding area. So everything's beautiful here. But
okay.
Why don't you tell us? You're going to be appearing on Tuesday, June 8th at 6:30 p.m. Registration is required to attend the virtual event. It's a Zoom link provided once the individual registers. Why don't you tell us what someone can expect for your session?
I'm teaching how to make scones. That's something that I started doing kind of embarrassingly, just during quarantine, starting last March, embarrassingly only because I've been a professional cook for decades, but I've always been terrified of anything that has to do with flour and butter and measuring. And I just, I never wanted to just face up to the fact that I find it really scary. And then, you know, with a lot of time at home and not so much access to going out and getting special treats, I started making scones with my son and realized it's like basically no measuring. They're better if you don't mix them very well, which I really like because I'm incredibly lazy. And so anything that's like that improves in quality when you have to exert less effort is a personal favorite.
I didn't realize that there was such a thing. I think I would excel at that as well.
You would be a great scone maker. If you, like, if you do about a quarter as good a job as you think you should do, your scones will be four times better.
We're going to be awesome.
It's always hard to explain that.
We're going to be awesome at this, Don. We finally found something.
Yeah, we found a notch.
This is your thing. So I'm gonna be teaching everybody how to make scones, and I hope it's going to be really kind of revelatory because it's, you know, scones are one of those things that you get at a coffee shop or at a cafe, and I think they kind of in our heads are like up there with croissants or something that are actually legitimately hard to make. But scones are insanely easy, and my version is easier than the easiest one I've ever read. Again, laziness. So I'm hoping that will feel like a really, you know, exciting thing, and then everybody will just be, you know, running around making scones every weekend.
Well, I mean, and that's amazing because, like you said, there's certain things that we look at in our daily lives and it's intimidating. You're like, oh, that would be great. And you look at it and you think it's a huge to-do or a project, and I don't think I'll do that. But then, lo and behold, it's easier than you think. And there's certain I've found that in certain ingredients of cooking, other things as well. I always thought that scallops were some bit to do. And then someone sat me down and said, just do this, 90 seconds each side, boom, boom, boom. And they're incredibly easy, most times, I'm not going to say every time, but incredibly easy to make. And you think to yourself, how was it that I was scared to do that? So that's going to be a wonderful event. I love events like that. But the best part about the event that you're holding is the JFCS events that you are part of, one of them, is helping with food insecurity across the region. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic and the economic situations, it's at an all-time high. So I want to personally thank you for taking your own time out to help the greater Philadelphia region as well as JFCS in this mission.
Oh, thank you. I'm overjoyed to. I think they do such great work. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've learned over this last year is also that cooking classes are one of the things that work really well over Zoom. And it's kind of great to not have to leave your, you know, for something like this, where it's like, it could either be, you know, just an hour and you turn on your computer and you get to like learn something, or, you know, it takes a while if you have to like get to a place and park and all that stuff. So I think it's wonderful that they thought of this as a fundraiser, because their mission is so important, and being able to, just being able to very simply turn on your computer, learn something meaningful, and help with food insecurity seems like a, you know, like a no-brainer.
That's great. Now, also, one of the things that interested me about you is you're a contributing editor at Vogue. Obviously, Vogue is top in the line, known for fashion. But you not only are excelling at the top of the game in the fashion world, you've written cookbooks as well. I mean, talk about the being wonderful at everything. I mean, the head to toe, you're as fashionable as can be, and you're also cooking everything that everybody wants to eat. I mean, you've got cookbooks like Something Old, Something New, and An Everlasting Meal. How is it that usually it's one or the other? These worlds usually do not mix. Usually chefs are the anti-fashion world, wanting to be messy and don't want anybody to come in the kitchen to see them, but you're doing great at both.
Well, in fairness, thank you for saying that. And I'm so, so sorry to have to disillusion you, but I'm deeply messy and I only write about food for Vogue. And I don't think I've ever even mentioned the name of a fashion designer, except there was one person called Schiaparelli who made a lobster dress. And so I was conscious of her because it was a dress with a lobster on it. And other than that, I am basically completely ignorant of, you know, 99% of what happens in the magazine. I just have my little corner where they let me write about.
So my thinking was correct somewhat that it is two different worlds. And I do like that they have taken it out to have a section for food, because like you said, it's a whole different audience and mindset, really. But I do like the idea of a lobster outfit.
Yeah.
Maybe next Halloween.
I know. Yeah. I look it up. It's an Elsa, I think it's Elsa Schiaparelli lobster dress. And it is definitely something. I think it would probably, if you were actually to buy one, it would probably cost, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. So maybe you can just go to Target and kind of mock up your own version.
we'll scrape up we'll pass around the basket around the studio.
At least we'll enjoy eating the lobster part of it before we make the dress.
Exactly. But as we were saying, you're part of the Jewish Family and Children's Service of Greater Philadelphia's Nourishing Community Events. It's a once a month virtual cooking series. And they've had some great personalities like Frank Oliveri of the original Pat's Steaks. He's such a personality. We've had him in studio. Sarah May of South Hill Cider. The list goes on and on of the wonderful personalities that have presented. And we can't be more thrilled for your appearance Tuesday, June 8th at 6:30, preparing the wonderful food for lazy people, scones, that we weren't.
Exactly. Yes.
So please share.
Totally. I'm going to lift the veils from your eyes.
Please share a website, a social media website, anything like that before you go.
Well, I can be followed at, what is it? I think it's probably Tamar E. Adler. I'm on Instagram.
You're just like my co-host, Donato.
You sound like me.
Donato always forgets what he...
I know. I'm 43 years old. I'm trying.
We're all just doing the best we can.
We're doing the best we can.
And that's all anyone can ask.
Like, I think my handle is Tamar E. Adler, but if you follow me there, you'll see all of the leftovers stuff that I'm currently making. I'm working on a book that is an A to Z of leftover recipes.
Awesome.
For anything you have left in your kitchen, like leftover scones, but you won't because they're so good. You will not have leftover scones, but if you were to, you would be able to turn to S in this upcoming book and look up leftover scones.
Perfect.
So I mostly post leftover recipes there, but I will also be posting in the lead up to this amazing scone class for a vital mission.
Thank you so very much. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And
I thought I was alone.
Yeah. So, but going from one, as you were mentioning, wonderful beverages, Don, of where to go, you don't even have to leave your home.
No.
Do you want to know why?
They deliver.
You can get it delivered.
Yes.
Because just like fine wines, there's fine water as well.
And it's a very important part of the human body.
Exactly.
We're like 80% water. So you might as well put the best water in you to be the best you can be.
There you go. I love that. And we've got the best person to talk to about the subject, and that is Angela Cooper, the CEO and founder of Soho Waterworks. They're a water distribution company, and they are setting an innovation in the bottled water industry for high quality products in the water world. Water world, Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
It is popular already in Europe, as you know, because we were talking about it in Italy.
Yeah.
It's very popular. So Angela's going to do her best to bring this sort of style and culture to the United States. How's it going tonight, Angela?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks, guys, for having me. How are you?
Oh, great. We're doing great. So the concept is fantastic. We have some samples in studio as well. And as we were mentioning, this is something that's picking up steam in the United States. You have one of the products that you distribute is Clear Alaskan Glacial Water. And it's funny, when we were reading about your company, that I just saw an episode of a program where Gordon Ramsay actually had a glacier broken up into ice cubes to serve at a fancy event. So this is really something that's picking up popularity. What is it that drew you to this fine water movement, and what is it that you guys do?
Okay, great. Well, mine's a little different. I wasn't looking to break down ice cubes and bring them into a restaurant. Ours was actually, the company was founded because as I approached the season of my life, I kind of wanted to be of service to others and use my voice as a platform to those who need me, right? And basically, on a casual conversation, sitting down with my best friend and with my brother and some family members, I've always been a quality water drinker. And I thought, wow, like, water now is really a luxury item, and it's not available to everyone. And it should be, right? And that bothered me. So when we saw a problem in the supply chain, we thought, well, it's time for a change. And here we are. So a year later, we launched the company. And our mission here is to distribute pure natural water to people working towards providing clean water to everyone, pretty much one drop at a time.
That's great. I mean, and as you said, it is a global issue, clean drinking water. It's a task that many philanthropic individuals have put lots of investment into infrastructure and things like that. So I really applaud you trying to help in any way that you can as well, because like you said, this is something that everyone should at least have in their life, the access to clean water for all. And one of the things that is interesting to me is, like fine wines, naturally sourced waters do have a unique profile to that specific water table because of the minerals and such that you're getting the water source from. And it can actually elevate many meals that you wouldn't normally think about. How is it that you became a fan or aficionado of fine water? Did it somebody give it to you the first time? Did you purchase it by accident when you were looking for just like a spring water? What was the moment that you came into this world?
Wow. We're going to go back a long time. I started drinking Mountain Valley spring water. Was the first time that I had tasted a quality water. And I was probably 21 years old. So it's going way back. And that's kind of like what started my love for water. And I know that the mineral profiles that are in like our waters and how important they are, because they're natural. And when you can grab that from Mother Earth, it's better for your body. So once I realized that and I felt much better and more hydrated, that's kind of like when it happened.
Yeah. And as you said, you do notice a difference with fine water and natural water. And many, and when I say many, Don, I mean many people don't realize, and we will not mention any names or brands on this show because Lord knows we don't want to hear from their lawyers. No. But major companies are putting out water with the sole purpose of promoting it as some sort of health benefit, when all they're doing is pumping tap water out of municipal wells that people are turning just on their regular kitchen faucet, and they put in a proprietary mineral blend. This way, no matter where this hose water is coming from out of the ground, it tastes the same throughout the world. People don't realize this. The vast amount of individuals do not realize that's what is being sold to them.
Yeah.
Right. It's all reverse. A lot of water out there is reverse osmosis. It's called RO. And it's not all equal. And you have to be mindful of that. And that's where our education piece comes in. Right. So what we're trying to do and what we do, like, that's a little bit different. We're trying to supply, like I said, water to the consumers, and we want to have fun doing it, right? We believe that the consumer, like you just said, has the right to know what's in their drinking water, whether it's coming from the bottle or whether it's coming when they turn on their tap. So what we're trying to do at Soho Waterworks is raise awareness through education, through communication, or asking questions. You know, I want to hear from the consumer what it is that they need, because they're the ones that are buying the product. And I want to know exactly what it is that they need. And then in turn, we're also educating them, because what's in their water isn't really what they think is in their water. You know, throughout the country, the rules and regulations, how water is treated when you turn on the tap, it runs the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our infrastructure is very expensive. Just for example, if the local government cannot afford to build a safe infrastructure to supply the residents tap water with clean water, the whole community is going to suffer, right? And that's what we're here for. So we want to raise awareness through education. And we actually launched, and I'll say this real quick, we actually launched our first video in our educational series, and it launched on World Water Day. So it's Where Does Water Come From? And it takes you back to the beginning of time. So basically 13 billion years in 30 seconds.
That's pretty fast.
I wish that my college career went that fast.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot cheaper than...
But in all seriousness, like, we're learning so much. We're still learning as we're going. There's so much to learn about where our tap water comes from.
Without a doubt. And like you said, the average individual is not informed, and the reason being is because large lobby groups don't want people to know where this stuff is coming from. And even with you, Don, and D&L Coffee Services, you know just what's the one of the most important aspects of a good cup of coffee or espresso.
Is the water that it's made with.
There you go.
So you have to have a good filter system.
So, I mean, if you're not having a good quality water as the base of what you're producing, you could have the greatest bean in the world.
Yeah, it's going to taste like
mud.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to taste bad.
So that's great. Now, one of the other questions that intrigued me, because I have to admit, I am not fully educated in the fine water world. But hey, if you're putting out educational videos for 18 seconds or a minute, I think I can handle that that kind of learning. But one of the questions I had that intrigued me is, with fine water, with different types of alcohols, as you know, Don, being a tavern owner, different types of alcohols require for the optimum taste levels of different temperatures for it to be at its perfect flavor profile. Is that the same for fine waters? Is there a particular temperature range that we should be drinking these at?
You're supposed to drink water at room temperature.
Okay.
Right? That's really what you should. That's the ideal temperature for water, but I think it's personal preference. I mean, there are times that I like my water cold, and there's times that 90% I drink it at room. But I think it's personal preference, but the going story is that it should be at room temperature.
So room temperature is the best for bringing the flavor profiles out of being able to taste the actual profile of the water. That's what you're saying.
To taste the profile, correct.
Okay.
Because certain profiles, like our Clear Alaskan Glacial, when you're drinking that, I don't know if you had a chance to sample it, but if you sampled it, it's really clean and it's crisp. It carries a low minerality, and it stays in your mouth with a strong finish. It really does. And if you tried the other water, which is Jackson Springs, that water is very velvety and smooth, and it has a silky finish.
Yeah, I tried the Alaskan water, and it is. It's nice, refreshing, quenching water with no aftertaste at all. You drink some waters and you get that back of your throat taste of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, and you're like, what? I thought I was drinking water.
Like, what is that?
Bath water. You're like, well, I thought this was, I was supposed to drink with this water.
A lot of times that comes with when the water's not balanced properly, right? The clear Alaskan glacial water that you guys had samples of is a perfect alkaline balance of 7.8. So the pH is like right in the middle. And so by the time it hits your tongue and your palate, it's already digested. And that's why it's refreshing and it's satisfying.
Now, is there, you're saying that, so we need perfect balances of water, a certain set of minerals. Is there anywhere in the world that is the best place to source water? Where is it that the companies are dying to set up shop or are sourcing it that is going to be the absolute best for fine water?
Wow. Wow. That's a great question. We're still on a mission. I mean, we believe all of our brands are the greatest, right? And all of each one is an individual brand. So, I mean, my gosh, it's like saying like, you, there's no way you could say that. Everyone has their own unique profile.
Yeah.
And they offer a different variety. I mean, that is the way I would answer that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you're right. I mean, I think, like you said, it's going to be up to the consumer and the palate of the person who's consuming it. But I have to tell you, Angela, I think you guys are on to a great trend. I only see fine water market expanding in America. As Don said, it's already very popular in Europe. It has a very strong footing in Italy because Don already knows a couple brands that he's familiar with and works with over in the Italian market. So we're very happy. Very happy to be able to have distributors here in the States. And obviously we're getting some flavors from the States like Alaska and things like that, because we're all tired of just hearing about the Alps. We don't want to hear about the Alps. We want to hear about Alaska.
Well, I will say this. Europe definitely knows what they're doing when it comes to water. And we're actually in talks with several new brands. Some are in Italy, some are over in Denmark. We also have a brand from Germany. So I believe that they definitely have more of a leg up than we do here in the States.
Yeah,
I mean, Clear Alaskan Glacial is the only freestanding glacier in the United States, and that water from the lake is coming from that glacial.
Wow.
Glacier. There isn't another one in the United States.
That's so amazing.
That in and of itself, and that's why we were drawn to it.
That's just amazing. So, and again, we want to thank you for going with the project of Clean Water for All. But please provide a website, social media, or anything else like that before you go.
Sure. Your listeners can go to SohoWaterWorks.com, where they can sign up for our newsletter and buy our water and just read all about us. And we're on all social platforms, Soho Waterworks.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like you said, I mean, it's one of these things where other territories and areas of the world, it's been second nature to them for many years already.
I mean, if you ever see an Italian movie or something, you always see a bottle of mineral water. You might not be able to read it or you know. But the Acqua di Minerale in Italy is very big, and it's either gassato or natural.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
But either sparkling or still water.
Without a doubt. But talking about rising stars in the water world, we have a bright new rising star in the food world. Most recently, the editorial and test kitchen director of the social media juggernaut, The Feed, and that would be Jake Cohen. He's got a wonderful new book, which you've got right in front of you, Don. Jew-ish, a cookbook, reinvented recipes from a modern mensch. How's it going tonight, Jake?
Very good. I'm in Miami right now at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. So which is really fun.
Rub it in.
A little jealous.
We made it feel like it was Miami and Philadelphia today, since it was 96, but we just don't have the sand or the ocean.
Oh my God.
Now, when most home cooks think of Jewish food, we've got a few classics like chicken soup with matzahs and
bagels,
babka, things like that. But you are an ambitious fella, and you have really put the food world on notice and said, listen, I'm going to take these recipes that are old school and give it a spin. How is it that you were able to do that? Because most traditionalists, they don't like when people mess around with old school recipes.
So, listen, you know what they say. For every two Jews, there are four opinions. Like, there's always going to be some people that are like, what are you doing? What are you doing to switching up the classic? But to me, I just think it was super important. I think about my time in culinary school. I think about my time working in restaurants in New York, and the real kind of pedestal for certain cuisines was reserved for European food, for so many different other cuisines, and Jewish food was never deemed good enough. And I always thought that that was so unfortunate and a missed opportunity. And it's something that is so tied to not only for me, but I feel like for so many other Jews in this country, whether you are religious or secular, the food traditions are tied to nostalgia, family, hospitality. And I wanted to just give Jewish food its flowers.
And I once saw a special, and they were talking about the same thing that you mentioned about having these thoughts of certain type of ethnic foods. And the narrator brought to mind, and he said, familiarity of food brings about thought that it can't be fancy or it shouldn't be changed. Do you think that that is a large reason of why Jewish cuisine wasn't having that modern twist on it that other ones were? Because the food world has exploded in the last 15 to 20 years, but the majority of it was a lot of flavors that Americans weren't accustomed to. So a lot of the ones that were traditional were left in the back seat and didn't get that spin that is so well deserved. Do you agree with that statement? Because I thought that was a great statement. Do you agree with that?
And yeah, 100%. And I think what it comes to, especially when we're talking about Jewish food, it really becomes generational. And I think of my parents' generation, which were first generation Americans, and the way that you kind of tie in inherited trauma and anti-Semitism in America and all of these other factors had a play in how much Jewish food existed outside of the home. And I think of now my generation and the way that we are talking and celebrating that aspect of our identity, even if that's the only aspect of Judaism we relate to. But also we're starting to kind of learn and explore about the diaspora and how diverse Jews are and how diverse the way that Jews eat is. And I just think that one of the most beautiful things is that we all share these same rituals, Shabbat, Passover, Rosh Hashanah, but the menus can look completely different if you are a Jew from Ethiopia or a Jew from Yemen or a Jew from Iraq or a Jew from Poland. And all are beautiful and all are valid and all deserve to be highlighted and celebrated. And I think that until we are celebrating all of these Jewish dishes from across the diaspora, then we aren't really celebrating Jewish food the way it needs to be.
You hit it right. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. And that is just, I love the way that you laid that out, and it's perfect. And the book is just great. The photography is top notch. For it being a debut author, my friend, we've seen cookbooks that we've almost had to close our eyes or put razor blades to our eyelids from authors that have had 10 cookbooks and say, what the heck are these cats doing? But yours is great. Yeah. I have to say, it's fantastic. It's really put
Thank
together
you.
Well. It's easy to read. The recipes you can follow from the regular home cook to any expert. So fantastic job. The book is called Jewish, a cookbook, reinvented recipes from a modern mensch, We're not going to hold you up because we know this is the last day of South Beach Wine and Food Festival. So congratulations on presenting there. But before you go, please share a website, social media, or anything like that.
It's very easy. There are many Jake Cohens in the world, but I am the only at Jake Cohen.
Don't accept any imitations. You're the only original, my friend. Have yourself a great
Thank
night.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. And talking about Jake's down in Miami, getting everyone jealous about the
warm weather,
the sand and ocean. We've got someone else to remind the world, hey, don't go getting too excited about Miami.
We have our own beaches here in New Jersey.
We've got our own beaches. No need to go getting on a plane. Just hop in the car. It's a 45-minute drive.
And what's the best city in Atlantic City?
The best city, of course, is the go-to AC, Atlantic City. And the gentleman online with us is going to talk about Ocean Casino Resort. He's the Senior Vice President of Food and Beverage, and that would be Warren Richards. How's it going tonight, Warren?
It's going really well. Thanks for having me on tonight.
It is our pleasure. Now, you guys down there, as we mentioned, we don't need to go down Miami. We didn't want to tell Jake that. He's a guest. We want to be polite, but we can just go to Atlantic City.
I'm about to do Atlantic City.
We can go to Atlantic City, can't we?
You definitely can. Not that there's anything wrong with going down to South Beach for the Food and Wine Festival. That's always a good time. I wouldn't. If someone said you got to go tomorrow, I wouldn't argue with them. I'd be ashamed to miss this coming weekend because Atlantic City is going to do. It's gonna put up a real fight for Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be a really great weekend here coming up.
Without a doubt, and you guys down at Ocean. I have to say, looking at your career, my, oh, my, oh, my, are they lucky to have you. But for anyone who's not familiar, tell us a bit about your career in hospitality, food and beverage, and what led you to come to the role at Ocean Casino Resort.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I think my story begins pretty similarly to a lot of people in hospitality, which is honestly working hourly positions in restaurants. And that was something I did from an early part of my life. And, you know, I pretended to be a grown up at times and think about doing something outside of food and beverage. And, you know, for a little while there, I thought I was going to be an accountant or work in finance. But, you know, there's something about the hospitality industry that's extremely alluring to people like me who have that bug. And, you know, that led me early in my career to everything from independent coffee places to small boutique hotels. And most of that was on the West Coast. And as someone who actually has a birthday on Memorial Day weekend every year, that actually led me as a consumer to Las Vegas on a regular basis. And going to Las Vegas at that point in my career, those buildings there definitely presented a challenge that I wanted to one day have for myself. And so my career path ultimately led me to Las Vegas, and I spent time in a few of the resorts, including time with Wolfgang Puck Fine Dining Group at Venetian, Mandalay Bay, Aria and Crystals Mall, and ultimately a fantastic stint with Wynn Resorts, predominantly at Wynn and Encore in Las Vegas. A fantastic chapter in my career that led me ultimately to be on the pre-opening team for the resort in Boston, and a very successful opening in 2019 of that resort. That was the last project that I was a part of before coming down here to Atlantic City.
Told you, Don. Yeah. The Ocean is very lucky to have Warren with a resume like that. And he even said started out with the independent coffee shop,
which I like.
Yeah, being the owner of D&L Coffee Services, you know a little everything about coffee, of what needs to happen. And what was it that you enjoyed about the independent coffee scene? Because, I mean, Don, you specialize in Italian coffees and espressos.
Yeah, and machine repairs, espresso machines, and service. And
What was it that drew? Because that world is a world all in its own.
But absolutely. That might be the hardest. That might have been the hardest I had to work in my entire career was the independent coffee business, because that's an early start every day. And
yes, it is.
I would like to think that I was in that kind of early 2000s push towards actual artisanal coffee and the kind of art of a barista making a fantastic cappuccino. And foam art was definitely a thing that you know, we specialized in at the, I was actually Santa Barbara, California, where that portion of my career. And, you know, to have a place that was really a community meeting place more than just a place for someone to get a coffee in the morning was the kind of business that we ran there. And I think people come together over a cup of coffee in a way that they don't a lot of other things.
It really is
rewarding in the coffee business.
Yeah, plus a good friend of ours, Mike D'Angelo, is part of your organization now.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, Mike is definitely he's one of the key people keeping it all working on a daily basis.
And a great individual. Talk about the volunteer efforts and the charities that he's worked with. This is the reason why you guys are so successful. And that sort of brings me to the next question of, obviously, Mike's a great individual and with the community, working with the community. You left Encore after a wildly successful launch, as you mentioned. So what was it, why, and what about Ocean as a resort destination enticed you to come to Atlantic City? That couldn't have been an easy choice with your background and having a wild launch like you did in Encore.
You know, one of the fun things about Ocean is it is a world-class facility. The building itself has so much potential to continue to develop. It's already operating at a great rate at the moment, but there are still opportunities for more. And, you know, one of the things about coming through that opening in Boston, you know, once it was open, you know, the building was kind of fully set, and it continues to operate in that way today. But coming down to Ocean, I saw, you know, opportunities to be creative still and to think about new concepts and bringing new life into existing concepts. And that process of kind of creativity and redefining something is something I personally enjoy very much. And already a few months into this project, you know, I've got multiple new things that are on the horizon for the future and a lot of important things that Ocean will be announcing hopefully in the near future.
That's great. And this is just my opinion, Don. This is just mine. But I think Warren heard through the grapevine how crazy things get Memorial Day weekend at the Jersey Shore. It finally got to him, and he said, you know what? That's my birthday weekend. That's where I got to go. If it's happening on Memorial Day weekend,
I got to be down there.
I got to be down there. So I know it's your birthday weekend, and it's always been the kickoff of the shore season in the Philadelphia region down at the Jersey Shore. What can people look forward to at Ocean as we approach Memorial Day weekend, your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that everyone's coming to town to celebrate with me.
Because, I knew that was the reason.
It's true. The weather looks like it's going to be fantastic as well. The 7 days looking very promising. And for us, it really is the beginning of kind of the outdoor season as well. And we will be kicking off basically our pool season, which includes this year the Cabanas, which is a second pool away from the main resort pool. That's a really unique experience, kind of overlooking the beach and the Ferris wheel. We have Cabanas and three pools on that separate deck. And we've put together a fantastic food and beverage offering. And it's very exclusive. It's something that really has a resort feel and I think pretty unique here in the city.
That's awesome.
On top of that, we'll also be, it really is. And we've spent the last 2-3 months refreshing everything and just kind of looking at everything going, how can we make this better for this year? And it really does look fantastic. And I hope a lot of people will get to see it this summer. The same thing can be said for our beach club. So we're really excited to be bringing back HQ2 and the beach club, opening on Saturday for the first time this season. And, you know, we've I got a great lineup for Memorial Day, starting with Cash Cash on Saturday and a fantastic act on Sunday, Medusa. And we'll be closing out the weekend with Fergie and PS1 on Monday. And I think when you think about what the world has gone through in the last 18 months, seeing HQ open again outside, it's a really momentous moment for us and something that we really are excited about. And then all throughout the property, you're going to see the restaurants and the bars, high energy and really excited to welcome everyone back to Ocean, because I think for a long time, we've been waiting for a weekend like Memorial Day to really kick off the year and kick off the summer.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, Warren definitely knows how to throw a party.
Yes, he does. It's his birthday.
Yeah. If you're going to do it right, John.
Of course.
And as you mentioned, you have many locations on the property to have wonderful adult beverages, cocktails, high-end dining all the way down to the dining hall. So we're going to throw the hard question at you for the last one. What's your favorite dish on property, and what's your favorite cocktail? Because if we're going to come down, you're the expert. We want to make sure that we're having the best time possible. So we're going to do what Warren does.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I'm going to give you something to eat first from Amada, which is our Spanish-inspired restaurant by Jose Garces. It's, first of all, got the most tremendous view of the ocean, and again, the Ferris wheel in the background. And I find myself at Amada almost once a week eating a traditional paella. And the seafood paella is fantastic. It's a great dish to share. It's something that after a selection of tapas and a nice glass of white wine from Spain, it's hard to beat a seafood paella from Amada. So I would definitely encourage everyone to go to Amada and try that. And then maybe before, I would actually start the evening down at American Cut, which is our steakhouse. Chef Romeo DeBona has really done great things since we brought him in January. And I would have something from the happy hour menu there, but I would also have one of the cocktails. And the cocktail menu is really fun. We use a lot of unique craft spirits down there. It's not necessarily all of the usual suspects on the cocktail menu, and all the cocktails are named after songs. It's kind of got a rock theme happening downstairs.
That's awesome.
And it's the summer, so
yeah.
For me right now, I drink a cocktail we have called the Roxanne, which features a Rosa tequila, Hennessy cognac, a little sour, and some jalapeno. So it's a really fun tequila cocktail.
But when we order it, do we have to say Roxanne?
Yeah, either that or something about a red light. Either way, it's a great cocktail.
But
for a hot day, it's hard to beat.
You've got the perfect plan down there, Warren. They've got the perfect individual in place. You've got a great plan of what you're going to set through the Ocean Casino Resort, the world famous Atlantic City Boardwalk. Sun, beach, ocean, it's the perfect combination, and you guys got it.
What else can you ask for?
Right there in the heart of Jersey's shore area, and it's shore season's kicking off now. The weather's perfect for it. It was a pleasure talking to you. Please share social media or anything like that before you go.
Absolutely. So everything about Ocean is at our website at theoceanac.com, and that same basically is the same way to find us on all of our social channels, from Facebook to Instagram to the Twitter.
Perfect.
And we look forward to seeing everyone this coming weekend.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Yeah, have a good week.
So going with the perfect Jersey Shore, let's see. We're going to try. We'll have to make it very quick, but we're going to try. Let's see if we can make it happen. We're going to see. Do you know what we're going to try, Don?
Chef.
Barbie
Marshall.
We're going to try. It's always worth a try.
One and only, sure.
It's always worth a try. But I know she's probably listening. And she's online.
Yay.
I knew we could do it this week. I knew it. How's it going, Chef Barbie? We apologize. We're on very limited time. But my heart just couldn't go one more week without hearing your voice of what's happening in your life and what you have for our listeners.
I
am in South Carolina, but it's no different than anywhere else in America right now. We're opening up, and it's hard. It's hard everywhere in the hospitality industry is short staffed. And as we open up, I just want to ask all of our listeners that go out to eat, that are going out to eat, to be patient with your hospitality workers, because everyone is understaffed. Things will take longer, and just be patient as we transition to try to get things back to the level of service that we once had.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chef Barbie. Patience is a virtue, and please, please, the hospitality industry is working harder than ever with a short staff there. Be kind. Don't just rewind. have a great night, Chef Barbie. Thanks so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, Don, let's kick it off. We got to be fast.
Donato Marino with DNL Bean and Barista Service. You can find us on Facebook. Or you can reach us directly at 215-365-5521 for any of your coffee espresso needs.
And I'm Derek Tim, BlueJeanFood.com. Thank you much, John Howard Fusco, Tamar Adler. We also had Angela Cooper of Soho Water, Jake Cohen, Jewish Cookbook, and of course, Warren Richards of Ocean Casino Resort. Follow us on all of our social media channels. We're on Wildfire Radio Sunday, 6:35 p.m. iTunes the following day on all your Apple products. We're syndicated, Google us. And we end the show like we always do. Well, we don't have a healthy bite this week, but we've always had a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
This is Jackie Martling for Small Bites. A vet has a very bad day, but when he gets home, his wife's waiting for him with a drink and dinner, and then grabs his hand and takes him up to bed. Well, at 2 a.m, the phone rings, and an old lady on the other end says, "Is this Dr. Cantor?" He says, "Yes. Is this an emergency?" "Yes, it is. There's a bunch of cats on the roof outside my window, and they're all screwing and screwing and making a terrible racket, and I can't get to sleep. What can I do?"
"Just open the window and tell them they're wanted on the phone."
"Will that stop them?"
"It stopped me."
Pocus interruptus.